Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
I like it. I don't have it. Think I might have lost it somewhere. Think I might have put it down and not picked it back up.
Duh.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where
we come up with five sketch ideas.
I noticed we've dropped a try. It used to be we try and come up with five sketch ideas, but here, episode 63, Alistair said no. There is no trying.
The thing is, we still are trying, but the thing is that we won't release an episode unless at least five have been come up with. So we are trying. That is, you know, within it. But
yeah.
Also, that you're not going to see it unless there are five sketch ideas, at least.
Right, because we can't fail.
Much in the same way that in the universe, people go, well, why? Like there couldn't be a universe to see unless we were here to witness it.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Right. So, like in a tree falling in a forest.
Yeah.
You know, if there wasn't a universe,
yeah,
you probably wouldn't have heard the podcast they made about it.
That's right.
I think I see what you're trying to say.
Yeah. Do you like philosophizing?
Alistair, you know me.
Yeah.
I love to ponder.
Absolutely.
I ruminate.
I've
been known to give things a damn good thinking over.
Yeah.
But really, I would love more than to philosophize. I would love to be considered to be a philosopher.
Wow. Yeah. I think that's something that I would like as well. But it's not something that I've taken any steps towards.
Well, I think I like the philosophical lifestyle.
Like living in a barrel?
Yes.
Is that Diogenes?
Yeah. Was he also blind and carried a lamp, or was that someone else?
The one who lived like a dog? Is it that one?
Yeah, that guy. That's the lifestyle I'm talking about. I want to be a dog.
Or is it sort of the like Socrates lifestyle of just kind of loose clothes and you get to walk around and just kind of question people?
Question people and then eventually poison yourself to death.
Did he poison himself?
Yeah, he said, give the hemlock to Socrates. So he asked for the... It was a weird way of putting it, obviously. Give me the hemlock, please.
Could he have been speaking about another Socrates?
Do you think it was a big misunderstanding?
Well, I don't know. I always thought that they punished him, but of course I've not read anything about it, but I thought that they put him to death.
Do you think there were two Socrates?
For corrupting the young.
Hang on. Was he put to death, or was he sentenced? Look, either way, I'm pretty sure he drank it himself. Like, he said, come on, give it over.
Surely under peer pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was immense.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was doing it. He was the first, though, and then no one else did it after that.
Yeah.
But it could have really caught on. It's another one of those things that could be highly addictive if it didn't kill you so much.
Yeah, hemlock. Is it still around?
Hemlock?
Yeah.
I think hemlocks. I think it's big.
Do you think it's... This is probably like... This sounds like a kind of report that there would be like maybe on a Vice channel. It'd be some cool guy would go and investigate... hemlock, and you'd find out that hemlock is actually way more popular than it's ever been.
Wow.
But you think it's this just kind of ancient thing that people aren't using anymore. But actually, hemlock is huge at the moment.
Like, for people killing themselves, or as a way to get a buzz, or what if we found out that, like, you know, hemlock is actually, you know, you can do all sorts of things with it. You can get the fibers out of it and make a weave.
It's very it's very good for tenderizing meat.
Yeah. And it's just this publicity campaign, by I don't know, arsenic, whatever. Big, the government was in the pocket of big arsenic,
absolutely,
and they made hemlock look bad.
That's right, and hemlock is basically has all the same properties that like bicarb soda does. It's good at eliminating smells. You can use it to sort of clean bathrooms and windows without You know, dangerous chemicals. Obviously, hemlock is a dangerous chemical.
But without other dangerous
chemicals.
Yeah, it reduces the number of dangerous chemicals that you need to use down to just one extremely dangerous chemical. You know, one of the problems about processed foods is you look at the back, at, you know, that list of all those ingredients there and all those numbers and emulsifiers and flavors and that sort of thing. And you don't know what any of them are.
They could be anything.
Exactly, all these additives. So how much reassuring would it be if you just looked at the ingredients list and it was just hemlock?
That's right.
You see, you know what you're dealing with.
At least you know it's bad for you. And then you can just go ahead and make a choice whether or not to eat it.
Exactly. You're informed.
Yeah.
Okay. And that is what the basis of the economy is. It's all about rational, informed consumers deciding whether or not they want their chicken chips flavored with a poisonous plant.
And if they're in the end, there ends up being a big problem with people continuing to take it despite the fact that they know that hemlock is in it and they're killing themselves and things like that, then maybe after a while we'll petition the government to put the price up.
Yes.
To dissuade people from taking the hemlock.
What about some sort of a star system, okay? So that all labels have to have like a, you know, 1 to 5 stars on the front to tell you whether or not they will kill you.
Right,
or whether they contain hemlock.
Instead of the star system being in a line, could it be like in the shape of Orion? Or I guess Orion already is a Could it be in the Big Dipper?
The Big Dipper.
It could be 5 stars, but it's like, you know, why is always a straight line?
Is there a sketch somehow in what, you know, people who are concerned about not knowing what is in food and the fact that some of this stuff could be dangerous.
Yep.
It's much more reassuring to know exactly what is in the food and for that thing to definitely be dangerous.
Yes, absolutely. And you're basically selling it. But you could also sell it with these other things. Like, there's so many dangerous chemicals in cleaning products because it's a multi-purpose thing.
Right.
And that hemlock has had such a bad rap because of Socrates taking it as a poison to be killed because it was used as a poison to kill people for so long.
Yes.
Right? And that's the only reason why it's got a bad rap. But it's got all these other great uses.
Is there also a
pesticide?
He was a bit of a bloody pest, wasn't he, that Socrates?
Yes.
From their point of view, it was a pesticide. They called in the... what about this as a sketch, right? It's kind of like a rat catcher, right?
Yeah.
But for like philosophers. Right, if you've got a whole lot of them around the house and they're kind of lolling around the place, sort of questioning you in the kitchen.
Yeah.
You know,
what would you use
abstaining from thought in the bathroom?
Oh, yeah.
Ascetics.
They're becoming ascetics in there. They're rejecting all of the feelings in their body, all the urges.
Yeah, you got a bunch of stoics all living in the eaves.
It's the worst.
It just feels exactly really, like a really, Monty Python.
They're really up there making the most of it.
Was that the Stoics or was that the Epicureans? I think they would have made the most of living in the eaves or the attic. They would have said, look, this isn't great, but it'll do.
That's right, yeah.
And I have memories of good times with friends. What more could a man need?
Than a memory slowly fading away over time. Slowly changing as I misremember it and re-imprint the memory on there. Anyway, what else could a man need? I guess, you know, as long as you can be... you just need a place to, like, stretch your legs at least. You can't be too cramped.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think Epicurus, when he was formulating his theory of sort of, you know, freedom from want...
Yeah.
He probably had a little caveat in there, a little asterisk or something. But also, I'd just like to be able to stretch out. Like, how would he have felt about economy class on a... You know, a domestic flight.
Or how would he have felt
about, you know, somebody like, reclining a seat in front of him?
Or you know when you go to like see a live show and it's in a hall or something like that, and everybody's just sitting on the floor, and then you realize after a while, sitting on a floor is hugely uncomfortable.
Awful.
Yeah, and so you're like constantly shifting positions, and you're like the meat of your ass is kind of just being pushed away from the bone part, and then it's just bone on cement. You know, and then your back problems, and then you're laying down in public. That's not
because
becoming.
You've got nothing to lose. You're like, I get it.
Well, beyond the amount of pain is so much higher than the social cost
of being seen horizontally
horizontal in a public place.
You know? I think sort of the angle of your body could also be sort of mapped as like a relationship, as like a graph to your lot in life. so if you're in public and you're horizontal, that's obviously 0 degrees to the horizontal, so your lot in life is low. And then as you approach the vertical, you're more and more successful. Until you're leaning forward, and those are the most successful people.
The most successful people are actually
lying
face down in the ground. People who have so much confidence. I picture them still walking forward, just scraping their face along the pavement like that. Unless they're laying down on a skateboard.
Right.
And pretending to be a snake.
And then... Are they still the highest group in society?
Yeah. The people who, because if you're on your back, you got nothing going on.
Yeah,
right? You're laying on your back, got nothing going on. But if you're laying on your front on a skateboard, hissing and pushing your way through crowds,
you've got something going on.
Yeah, you're like, this guy has confidence. He's going somewhere. He's, you know, he's. I guess there must be something where he's going to. Look, I don't know if that's necessary.
No. I'm trying to work out how we can apply this, because I like the first 90 degrees and I like where we end up, but I'm having trouble with the angles in between, because it's very difficult to rationalize why somebody would be sort of leaning backwards at, you know, 70 degrees sort of, to the vertical.
Well, maybe sort of the. Most of the angles, let's say between 90 and 0.
Yeah.
Anything in between there is just anybody in a trust exercise. So those are people who are currently doing Tony Robbins sort of conferences and things like that.
Sure.
And they're still learning how to become successful and get to that point where they can stand upright, believe in themselves and head to the other place.
But then once you've reached that vertical, you realize that that's actually not the top, because firstly, it takes a lot more trust to fall face forward, right? Because you know there's no one standing there. You know, in a way, the people who fall backwards, I think they're cowards.
Absolutely, yeah. Right? Because you know that out of social pressure, other people will catch you.
Exactly, exactly.
Right? But falling forward...
This is a terrible argument. Yeah. I think there's something in... A not very confident, like a success coach, like a Tony Robbins guy, who does the trust exercises but gets people to fall forward. Jeez, falling backwards, that's crazy. Those people might not be there. No, fall forwards.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Trust the people that you can see.
Yeah.
Like, don't blindly trust people, strangers, who have, the only thing you've got in common is that you're all losers and bought tickets
to this. Idiots enough to pay $600 for a 4-hour... You know, conference at Jeff Shed.
Yeah, Jeff. That should be his name, Jeff Shed. Anyway. But also, falling forward. Look, I think that there's definitely a sketch in this.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a person who is like, it's an elder giving advice to a younger man.
Yeah, yeah.
That a lot, you know, it's like, what are you doing on the ground, Mike? Get up! Like that. Like, you know, maybe it's just a young kid. You know, because young kids, you know, they'll lay down in the supermarket or whatever, have a bit of a tanty.
Yeah. Often like face forwards, though, which undermines us, but...
No. I would say, well, in this case, he'll be laying on his back.
Perfect. Good edit.
You see, because that way we avoid having contradictions within the thing. Right?
I mean, we could just, like, give up on our original idea and flip it all around so it's the people who are laying face down on the ground.
who are doing the worst.
Who are doing the worst, right?
Well, or we could have both people on their back and on their front that are doing pretty badly.
But it's really nice to have it so that we go past the vertical.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? 'Cause, and that probably is true, right? Because people who are lying on their front, they're either... They're unconscious, right? They're drunk. They're passed out, right? You know, and then as they sort of push themselves up, right, towards the vertical, and that's good. They've obviously got enough arm strength to be able to achieve a higher angle, right? And then as they get to the vertical, that's good. That's sort of where society expects you to be. But then you can move past that by like reclining,
Of course.
Reclining is a sign of
absolutely
success.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. That is definitely. Right? It's a luxury.
Yeah. And then to be able to
banana chairs?
Oh.
Yeah, a banana chair.
What a sign of luxury.
I've never seen a loser in a banana chair. They don't sell them to them. And then laying flat on your back is a sign of you're done. You don't have to do anything anymore. You're either sleeping, which is a sign of making it through the day.
That's
huge success. Right? Or some people are carrying you like old style, like a king on the wall.
Carrying you old style like a king.
You know, like one of those chairs. Like you know when it was like you'd have six slaves just carrying you around?
Yeah,
but
sure.
I guess they weren't, people
they weren't
only
lying
down.
They were sitting.
Okay, but then.
I think it would have been funny the time before that when they were just carrying them around loose. You know, like a like when you go to the supermarket and you buy a single banana and you don't need a bag, right?
Yeah.
The king doesn't have his little chair on the little house.
He's just on a guy's shoulders?
He's just on a guy's shoulders.
Or
just
two
riding
guys'
around.
Shoulders?
Yeah, just carrying him around.
I guess he's just got a skeleton team. He's just like, look, I'm just going to go bare bones on this trip. Like he's going just on a trip like to a nearby island. Yeah.
Yep.
He's like, I don't have to bring the whole entourage. I'm just going to take Mike.
Yeah.
Right? He's the equivalent of just bringing a backpack. Right? So Mike can sort of have a backpack with all of his belongings, you know, toothbrush, you know, swimming trunks, a towel, and a change of clothes, right?
And then the king just climbs up.
And then the king climbs up, and then they walk, and then Mike swims across to the island like that. And the king just sort of sits on his back as he swims across like that. And then they just spend the weekend there.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely less kingly to just be a bloke on someone's back, isn't it?
Well, I mean, obviously, you're looking at it from modern day standards, where that's a thing people do at festivals and things like that. But back in the day, people weren't as well nourished and things like that, and so you know, you wouldn't be able to have as many people carrying other people on their shoulders, and you couldn't, as a person, you couldn't afford to carry other people on your shoulders because you needed to conserve your energy because you know, like the farming hadn't been invented yet.
Right, and being able to keep a man well fed enough to be able to carry you, a probably quite well-fed king, on his shoulders, is a sign of great wealth.
It's a sign of great wealth.
Yeah. So, you know, back in the day, obviously, being obese was considered a sign of wealth.
Mm.
But what's even more impressive than being obese? Being obese and being able to afford to have a man strong enough to carry you.
Well, also, or being able to have an obese slave.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm doing so well. All of my slaves are incapacitated.
From obesity.
From obesity. I mean, you could. That's how well I'm doing.
This is.
I have to get slaves to carry my slaves to carry me.
And those slaves aren't doing that well.
No, obviously, I'm not doing that well. I mean, our kingdom obviously still has some way to expand.
No, they're not doing that well because they're on the verge of obesity.
Oh, right. Sorry, yeah. Obviously, they're not doing that well. But, you know, at some point, I would like to get, you know, I'd like to get another set of slaves. There's still room to grow. Eventually,
we're sort of, you know, trickle-down economics. I haven't managed to sort of tweak the nozzle for the trickle just yet. It's more kind of like a gush out.
Yeah.
Of this extreme wealth.
At the moment, it's just as a sort of an aqueduct. It's just, you know, water pouring. We don't have taps.
Yeah.
There is no flow control. It's just.
And if we did, we couldn't use them because they were our beast fingers.
Big, yeah.
Huge. Pork hands. Pork hands?
Pork hands.
Pork hands.
Which, you know, I don't... Do they have hooves, pigs? They get their claws?
Trotters.
Trotters. Oh, my God. I can't get into it. Look, we've got two sketches to write down.
Yeah, great.
And, okay, so... King...
A rich king who is so rich that all his servants are incredibly obese. I think... What if, like... I mean, could it be even like a kingdom? Could it be a whole kingdom that is so wealthy that even the starving people are obese? You know, even
so they're starving, but they're obese.
Well, maybe they're not starving, but there's still like people who are living homeless on the streets, but they are gorged on food and covered in jewels. I'm really reaching here, but
yeah.
I'm trying to see.
But it's like a It's a society, like a society that has universal basic income.
Sorry, yeah, we talked about this on the previous, or a couple of episodes ago, universal basic income, and then I mentioned the possibility of universal really, really high income.
Well, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Like, everyone, why make it basic?
Yeah.
You know, if we've got robots doing everything and driving the entire economy and money is...
Yeah, why not make everybody really rich? Why do we have billionaires?
Why does it have to be this subsistence?
That's right. Yeah,
model.
Yeah,
we're all in private jets constantly.
It's great. Yeah.
But for my kingdom idea, it's too complicated. I think just a king with obese servants. It's good.
Sure. So, but I mean, it would be good to have that kind of build. Where it does build from you're talking about a king who's doing so well that he can have a well nourished, because I think that's fun, those steps, like a king who's doing so well that he can have a well nourished slave who is capable of carrying him around.
Yes,
but then kind of taking that to the next level where the you know their slave becomes fat and themselves and then
all of the things that we said.
Now, also going back to the horizontal.
I don't know about the horizontal. Like it's.
I think there's something good there.
So we were saying that you know starting from face first on the ground.
Yeah.
Your angle to the horizontal is correlated to your level of success.
Yeah.
It's like a gauge. If you were to watch someone from the side. Right, yeah. It's like a speedometer or a tachometer on a car as it goes.
That's right. Yeah. So the first 90 degrees is you're heading up to normal.
Yeah.
And then the back 90 is you're getting to.
As you're leaning back.
Because I picture the person who's on their back with their hands behind their head.
Yeah.
Right.
Great.
And then
their ankles are crossed. Maybe
their ankles are crossed. Like that
picture of contentment.
Yeah, they're basically as content as you can get.
Because they no longer have to strive. The people who are vertical are still striving.
Oh, I mean, they can barely even. The people who are horizontal on their face can barely even breathe.
Yes.
Right. With like unobstructed at least. Look, I'm gonna just draw a speedometer.
Great. What about? Can you just put a little head on it and some little arms, maybe?
Yeah, like that, and then like this, like there we go. And then the arms.
Yeah, it's like a statusometer or you know a lifeometer. That's that'll have to do for the time being. A lifeometer.
Yeah, I think that's a sketch. I like even if it is just an old man telling. I mean, look, I don't know with this theory where the people who are laying front forwards on skateboards pretending to be snakes where they fit in.
Well, maybe they're an addendum. They say, look.
Obviously, there are exceptions.
If the person that you see face first on the ground. You look a little closer and see some little wheels under them and you hear a hissing sound. Well, that's probably just a man lying down pretending to be a snake.
You see, and often that
do not rush to judge him.
Do not rush to judge him. Often that is a thing that comes from sort of eccentric billionaires.
Yes.
Who can afford to make choices like that, identify as snakes. That is not a choice that is available to the very poor or the unsuccessful.
I think it's possible that this is the most absurd sketch that has ever been hypothesized.
That's great. I like that. That makes me feel really good.
Great.
Well,
I feel like there were other things that I thought of along the way. Well, there was a thing about a guy running success trust exercises and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Who himself has trust issues. Like
that's
he doesn't.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He doesn't. It's like obviously don't fall backwards. That would be insane. And I guess what are the other things about like going across hot coals? Like Tony Robbins get people to do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
walk
yeah.
across hot coals.
Hot coals.
You know, like, I said that my mind goes to like the. Have you ever tried to you know walk across that hot bit of bitumen between the beach and your car? That's a nightmare. You're not going to go across hot coals.
You're not going to tell me the people who walk across that hot beach or hot bitumen are somehow later on getting really successful. Don't. That's not the way to get to success
and
believing yourself.
Maybe that's why so many really high level surfers actually. Earn so much money.
You think so?
Yeah.
I know, but there's so many people who go to the beach who don't earn any money. What about the guy who goes onto the beach with the little metal detector and things like that? He's not earning very much money.
Yeah.
Except for that metal detector. That looks expensive.
Yeah, well, I think there's a big initial investment. It's a beautiful approach to earning money, isn't it? The idea of the guy at the beach with a metal detector. He's like, all right, I need some money. Okay, I guess I'll just go and try and find some money. Nobody else has that directed attitude to the problem of not having any money.
I think I remember hearing about a guy who was like, he just found drugs on the ground.
Like, that was his
thing. I think like he would just walk around town and he goes, oh, there's some drugs like that. And he would just find drugs. Like there's enough drugs on the ground just to sustain him.
Wow. Because I know that they can detect the amount of cocaine that's being used in a city by like getting it out of the sewers. There are detectable levels of cocaine in the sewers of like
cities.
Rich cities.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah. Cities with cocaine in them.
Yeah, that's right.
But
probably every city.
But almost. As a way to actually, you know, it's a great way to measure cocaine, but as a way to actually get cocaine, I imagine it's...
So that's the guy who's going in the sewers and he's measuring it, but he's actually like siphoning it out from the effluent.
Effluent.
Yeah. I do think that guy with the trust, who does the... Yeah. It's like, first of all, he's using these trust exercises. He's got trust problems, but he's also using this as a way of distinguishing himself from all the other sort of motivational speakers and things like that. Is that don't be a fool about it. Don't be don't be so completely blind to these things. And so he uses, you know, he kind of dispels other people's myths. He's like the magician who reveals the magic tricks. You know, he's like, no, don't fall backwards. Yeah. Don't walk on hot coals.
Yeah.
He's like, if you walk on hot coals, you're a goddamn sheep.
And don't walk on too cold coals either. Yeah. Room temperature coals.
Only, if you can. To be honest, avoid coal.
Yeah.
It's not good. You breathe it in. It gets
the dust particles, black lung. The particulate matter.
You ever met a coal miner? They're,
You know,
they're often dead. Eventually.
They walk across room temperature coals all the time. It's terrible for them.
Yeah. They get not only black lung, black foot, if they're barefoot.
Mm, mm, mm.
That was one of the worst things I've ever said. Blackfoot was a Native American tribe.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
Walk across a lot of coal?
Look, I don't think so. Maybe, though. Look, to be honest, I don't know that much about it. I did one class, maybe, in year five. I remember writing out different tribes and learning about what they did. And some of them were hunter-gatherers, others...
That's a lifestyle.
Yeah, others grew maize.
I think there's something in this guy who's just trying to find money. You know, the guy with the metal detector who needs money and so decides to try and find some money. Is that not funny to you? Is that not initially immediately hilarious, Alistair?
Look, yeah, there's something to it. It's not immediately hilarious, but
I'd like to, you know, meet this guy, right? Because he in a way he kind of is a modern hunter gatherer, isn't he? Because he's, you know, back in the day you would go out and you would search for grains and berries and squirrels.
But now he's going for.
Well, you know, he understands that times have moved on, right? Yeah. You can't just do that anymore. You need money.
A lot of the berry bushes have been sprayed. Things like that. Blackberries are considered a pest now.
And now he's out. He's a modern hunter-gatherer. He's like, well, I'm not a fool. I'm not going to go out and eat these things. I'm going to go out there and get some money.
He hunts
and gathers money.
Yeah, but I think the problem is that I don't see this as enough of a character flaw. To sort of be hugely fun. Like, obviously, it's a character flaw. Like, obviously, there's something wrong with this person.
Yeah, sure.
That they put so much money up front, either to rent or buy this metal detector.
Right, see, I don't even think that that's an important part of the sketch.
No?
So...
Well, I'm more judging the people who do it.
Yeah, sure. Right?
So, it doesn't have to be part of the sketch. This is like, I'm just trying to picture where...
Uh-huh, uh-huh, yeah. uh-huh.
And then... So what do you picture this guy doing? He's out on the beach. Is it just only on the beach, or is he going like in the back of couches? Is he going in sort of crawling under sort of cinema chairs? Because then that would involve going into the cinema,
that's
looking
true.
For change that people have found there. Maybe at sporting events.
And kinda going does into involve... the cinema probably also involves paying to buy a ticket.
Having
so
to
that's
pay
his,
to buy
he's
a ticket.
Laying out more money.
You got
to
spend $21,
and he obviously gets a popcorn and a Coke.
Well, because he doesn't want to seem sus, he don't.
Well, it's the cinema experience as well. He can't not, Chalk Top. He just loves them, right? So already he's spent $40, $45.
I know, but
just to get into the cinema, and now he's crawling along on the ground, interrupting people's.
Maybe as he's saying that that's what he does, somebody goes, "But had you considered maybe you would find some popcorn on the ground, or some of the empty drinks if you sort of waited till after the movie? There'd be a lot of that kind of stuff left over. That's why they hire people.
I don't want it stale. That's disgusting.
Yuck." I mean, I'm going to find things, but I've got standards.
Yeah. I mean, I sift through it, obviously,
to see if
bare hands.
Yeah, I go through it to see if anybody's dropped any money in the old popcorn and
in
their Cokes.
And then I lick the money clean, obviously.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Does he go to op shops, trying to go? Like, it's just, I guess all the
ATMs. Does he go to ATMs and sort of smash them open and sort of
I found
rifle
some.
Through? Is that a way that this can escalate? That like eventually we see that he's actually just a thief. He just sort of goes through people's pockets and that sort of thing.
So
breaks into houses.
What does he need money for? Is it just to have money?
Yeah, it's just a way of getting money. I think there's an arc to this guy, right? We meet him. He seems like an innocent buffoon who's decided that the best way to get money is by going to the beach and looking for it with his metal detector, right? And then he's at the cinemas. He's crawling along. They can often get good money there. He's spent a whole lot more money to get in there. And then we see him, and he's at he's at the swimming pool, right?
Yeah.
And he's sort of levering open people's lockers and going through the pockets of their jeans and taking their money. And then he's full on breaking and entering into a house, right? Tying up a family in the living room.
Mm. Going through their pockets.
Yeah. And he's got a metal detector probably still. Maybe he's beating someone with it. He's like, "Where's the money?
Yeah.
Where's the fucking money?
Yeah.
Oh, look, I found some."
Yeah. Doot, 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 doot. So he's still only just finding coins. he's not getting any notes. Where's your coins?
I didn't think about that. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I've written it down.
Thank you. So we can fucking move on,
finally. Yeah, absolutely.
I like it. I feel like I really wore you down with that one.
Yeah. Look, I think that within it, he could be weird enough. That it could be funny, even if it wasn't a funny story. But it is. So luckily,
even
it is.
Within my victory, I feel the pang of defeat, Alistair. Yeah.
Well, you're like Trump. You feel that you fear that your victory was not legitimate.
And why does he feel that way?
I wonder. I don't know.
Where does that come from?
I don't know. No, but
I mean, we all fucking hell. We all feel like imposters a lot of the time, don't we? Like I feel that all the time. As I do not deserve to be here. Everyone else is more talented than me, and any success I've had has been either accident or people conspiring against me to give me success so that later on they can take it away and make me feel stupid.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine how Trump must feel, if indeed he does feel.
Well, that's, that is
if
that,
indeed
that is
you do
question.
Imagine.
Yeah. But does that thinking, does that almost make you be able to sympathize with him? Like, Because, I mean, he's a pretty despicable character.
Yeah.
Does, like, there was a moment just then when you were talking about that where I did feel like, what if he... Because I think we all feel that he doesn't want this, really. He doesn't really want this. It's just kind of to feed his ego, but in the end, he's kind of just doing it. But...
Yeah.
But what if, like, he does want it and...
He can't enjoy it.
And now he can't really enjoy it because he fears that it's not legitimate. And maybe, like, what if this news that Russia interfered was hugely disappointing to him because he thought this was hugely validating that he was...
Sure, he thought he'd won. He thought he'd got a certificate from school because he earned it, and then he found out it was just because his parents donated money to the library.
Yeah. Which probably is also the thing that also happened to Trump. Yeah.
That's probably been happening his entire life. Oh. None of his achievements have been legitimate.
Oh, wow.
Right? Like,
yeah, so because he's had money the whole way...
He's never earned anything.
Oh, no wonder he's broken.
Yeah.
So that's why he has to play up that he's got achievements all the time.
Totally. Guys, I think we've cracked it good on us.
We've cracked Trump.
Psychology is done by these armchair psychologists.
Psychologists. Oh, my chair doesn't even have arms. Is there a sketch? Is there a sketch in that? Is there a sketch in a person like that? Like it's. Like, it's basically a person who is like Trump. Like, so despicable in...
Yes.
In the thing. And then you make the audience hate him for 3 to 5 minutes.
Right. Okay.
And then...
And they're still watching.
And they're still watching.
Great.
Yeah. Because
them hate him in a fun way.
Because, yeah. And because you put humor in there, maybe at his expense.
Yeah.
But maybe not. Maybe, like... Yeah, like maybe you see the people around him, you know, kind of are like, what the fuck is this guy? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
And then at the end, you just put something in to like make him seem human, make him seem really sad inside, and then you end it there.
Alistair, congratulations. You've just written the movie Citizen Kane.
Oh, right.
One of the greatest films of all time.
Oh no!
Yeah, no. I mean, well, this is a great achievement.
I mean, like, yeah. Well, I haven't seen Citizen Kane. So apart from like,
I haven't either. But I'm pretty sure that's what it is
from the synopsis that you read
on Wikipedia. Yes.
Yeah.
But also from the infinite number of cultural allusions that have been made to it.
Yeah.
I assume those people have seen it, but maybe not. Maybe no one has.
Could we do that, Citizen Kane?
Yep.
In a 3 minute sketch, or 3 to 5 minute sketch.
Yeah, I think we could. I think. I'm wondering exactly what kind of humor it would be, but I like the idea of making this utterly despicable person, and then you see them go home, and you see the sadness that is in them, and how they can't even look at themselves in the mirror.
Mm.
You know, but is this comedy?
I know. Well, that's the question. It's like, because sometimes I wonder whether, like, if you're in a show, if you're watching a show where it is everything is kind of a sketch, punchline, things like that, and then you do one that deliberately takes away a punchline, and just it's the absence of a punchline that in my mind that is kind of the, like, so that's often what makes me laugh, is when something is so bleak and sad I would say almost a more real laugh.
So what we're picturing here is like it's like in Back to the Future, right, when Biff gets covered in manure, right? So we hate Biff, and then Biff gets covered in manure, and he says, manure, in a really disappointed way, right? But what if instead of manure, that was self-loathing?
Oh, that's good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was going to say, can we just write Back to the Future and Citizen Kane together like that? I almost think maybe this isn't worth writing down.
Well, Back to the Future, Citizen Kane would have been very interesting if there was time travel, because he could have gone back to the sled.
Yeah.
And maybe, or someone who'd watched the entire film could have come back to the beginning and just told us it was the sled.
That's true, yeah. That would have been good. Or somebody who was watching the movie could have, if it was not just a time machine, but also a machine that allowed you to travel within fictional things.
Well, this is very good.
Somebody
which science, by the way, hasn't proven to be impossible.
No, they haven't. No, that's right. Because that's what science does, right? It proves things to be possible rather than just tries to disprove things. This is something I learned just recently. I was like, oh, yeah, that's what it's all trying to do. Science is just trying to disprove things.
I guess.
Yeah, that's the difference between pseudoscience and science, is that science is just trying to, once you've got a claim, science's purpose is just to try to disprove it.
I never thought about that. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that's true.
Well, I mean, maybe you should start reading a little bit more Popper, Andy, or watching short 6-minute videos that explain this from PBS in America.
You know what? I bloody should.
Yeah. Anyway.
What about a movie, a time travel movie, right, where there's no time travel in the movie, but the movie is made as though the filmmakers had access to time travel?
Whoa. Okay. Yeah.
So what we're saying is, at some point in the future, time travel has been invented. How does that affect the process of making a film?
That is really interesting. So it's kind of like Boyhood.
Yes.
But done over a whole
But they have a time machine. Of people.
Yeah. It's done for real.
Yeah. They just sort of jump around. It's non-linear filmmaking, but in real life. Right? They still make a linear film.
Yeah.
But they make it non-linearly.
And is it still actors or is it actual, like, do you have to get people from each generation of this family line to agree
to play the same person
throughout?
I don't know. They
wait. What's an example of that, like a thing like that, where that has worked and exists in real life?
I have no idea what, like, we're even talking about anymore.
So it's a film that is made without a thing in it, but it's a thing that the...
Well, I guess all films are made with cameras and dollies and lighting technicians, but they don't necessarily feature those things.
Okay. So it's like that. So it's like the... Yeah, okay.
I guess, like, you know...
Okay, how about this?
Yeah.
Right? It's a film, right? But where the cameras are pointed outwards, right? at the crew and the directors, but the sound is all of the actors acting.
So maybe the actors have, like, GoPros on their heads, right?
No. It's just a camera that you would normally shoot at an actor.
But they're turning and they're holding it backwards. Everyone's holding it backwards.
Right. So it's like a behind the scenes film, but what you're listening to, what you're actually paying attention to, it's what's behind the scenes, which is what's in front of the scenes normally.
Okay. That could be something.
I mean, is that a form of avant-garde theater?
I don't know if it's theatre. Might be filmmaking.
I mean, filmmaking. Sorry, avant-garde filmmaking.
Yeah,
I
think so.
I just think, you know, like there's got to be places where they haven't gone yet. And I think sometimes you don't make something because it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You just make something because it's an idea that hasn't been done yet.
Right, it's an idea.
It's an idea. You know? And then it's you let the critics decide whether or not it worked.
Yeah, I think there's something wonderful about this, a film set in which all the cameras are turned around the other way.
I mean, could it be, like, in the end, is this a sketch? Because what is this a sketch about? Is this a sketch about somebody who is doing this, who's just trying to be avant-garde?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what it is, because you would obviously have to then show this process from the outside, right? Unless you did just have it.
Yeah,
and you did just see the director and the camera person staring really close into the lens, trying to focus on their own eye. I don't know. I think there's also something about filmmaking with time travel. I think there is a a behind the scenes documentary about the first film that has been made using time travel. Like, you know, like when Citizen Kane was apparently the first film that, you know, had moving cameras or something like that.
Yeah.
You know? Or, you know, the first movie that was shot in color. Or the
you
first
know, I
movie
came up
with
the idea
sound.
For Citizen Kane.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, independently, just a few moments ago. Yeah. So, could it
so,
be...
So, it's the first film to be made once we have time travel, okay?
Could, and just, I mean, you know, just to force my idea, could yep. it be, could that be an idea of this guy who's trying to make avant-garde cinema? Is that, this is one of his ideas that he's trying to make happen. Like, that he's like, I want to be the first movie that uses time travel in the filmmaking process.
Yes.
But there is no time travel in the movie.
Yeah.
It's not a time travel.
I think that's good. Like, you don't. Yeah, and he's like, well, you know, you
and
make
he's hired scientists, and he's got people who's got a functioning model
of a time
of
machine.
A time machine, and
yeah.
he does it, and it just kind of looks like a normal movie that's, you know, time passes over yeah. time or whatever, yeah. but it's about the craft. This guy only cares about the craft,
and he's able to make the passage of time actually look more realistic than it does.
Yeah, that would be cool.
On film. You
of course,
know? It's a hyper realism kind of thing.
So he's just trying to make a hyper real mumblecore film.
Yeah, yeah. But he happens to have
on a minuscule budget.
Mm.
If you don't count the time machine,
the cost of the time machine.
Yeah.
The film cost almost nothing to make. Where I really wasted the money was in bending the laws of time and space. But somehow he still manages to run over time on the production,
despite the fact that's great. He. It comes in 2 years after time, yeah.
Or he makes it instantaneously because he films it, and then we've just gone into the editing suite. But fortunately, as on the way into the editing suite, I came out of the time machine from the future with the fully edited film, and so that really helped a lot with the editing process.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
I don't know.
So there's a lot of dead air.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the dead air. I was picturing it.
I was picturing
a man coming out.
Me too.
He looked a lot like you, Alistair.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I appear in your dreams very much?
I don't know if you've ever appeared in one of my dreams. Is that offensive? Do you mind?
Not at all.
No. Very rarely people from my life appear in my dreams. It's usually sort of stock characters.
Yeah.
You know?
People who appear in stock photos.
I think I can't afford the rights.
Yeah.
To any real people. And so I have to sort of make these mock things. I don't have any actual music in my dreams. I just have sound-alike music.
I used to have a girl. I mean, this was when I was a boy, you know, a teenage boy. And things like, I used to have a girl who kind of was a bit like somebody that I grew up with.
Right.
But she would have this kind of golden hair. But she would wear a black wig over it, and then later on, I would discover she's the woman with the golden hair.
This happened more than once in a dream?
Yeah,
like a recurring...
I kind of go to a lot of recurring locations, and I'm either that or I often go, I'm in a dream going, I've been here before, like that. Like, I know I've been there before.
Deja vu.
But maybe that's just part of the feelings. Why can't... Some of the feelings are probably also, like, just fed to you by the dream rather than...
Yeah, I absolutely. Hmm. I have... Dreams where people apparently find it boring to hear about dreams, but like, we're talking in abstract terms.
Abstract, obviously, that's very
abstract. Dreams are fascinating.
Yeah,
but I have a lot of dreams where I dream. There's a whole lot of context to everything. Like I feel like everything has a big emotional weight because I know stuff has happened in the past and that sort of thing.
Mm.
So like all the history of things is sort of comes with them.
Yeah.
But if I try and analyze that and like pin any of it down, I don't remember any of that stuff. It's just I feel like this has huge importance because of something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how you could have that in a sketch. Oh man. Dream sketch. That's the future.
I used to have a lot of recurring dreams about textures.
What textures?
Like
in particular?
I would just dream I was surrounded by like a real, like specific, like gritty texture or kind of like a cold kind of sticky texture or something like that.
I remember once...
Guess I just didn't wash my sheets that much.
Yeah, maybe. And you went to the beach a lot. But then, yeah, I remember once eating these kind of, having to eat numerous like bar of soap textured things, just endless amounts of it. Like that. Sort of sketching that? Oh, mate, imagine a world where you eat bars of soap and you wash your hands with plates of food.
Celery.
No, not celery. Like a bowl of spag bowl. Like a sort of an enchilada or something like that.
It's amazing that like all these things that have flavors that we just take for granted, right? Like toothpaste tastes like peppermint. That's just something someone decided once. Yeah. Someone was like, toothpaste's going to taste like peppermint. That could have been anything.
Yeah, maybe.
That could have been bolognese.
It could have been bolognese. Could have been...
enchiladas.
Could have been enchiladas. Could have been Solo.
Yeah. And Solo could have also tasted like bolognese. That was just a decision someone made.
That's true. Yeah.
Solo didn't have to be lemon.
Bolognese could have tasted like red curry. It's just some Italian down the road.
Some bloke just decided.
Yeah, decided.
Some guy said, this is what everybody's going to have.
Forever.
Yeah.
Oh.
And we just accept it like a pack of mugs.
We're a bloody sheep.
Sheep. Sheep didn't have to taste like sheep.
No, they had to.
They did, actually. Yeah. That's pretty much
a chemical process.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there was like a sheep that decided that they were going to kind of... Like, do you think early on like a sheep decided the kind of landscape that they were going to live on?
Yeah.
In a way? And so that was, by what they ate and by their chemical structure. But I think what they ate they kind of decided what their flesh ended up tasting like.
It's a real interesting chicken and egg scenario, but with sheep. Grass and sheep and their chemical makeup thereof.
Yeah, yeah.
What about someone who's like, you know, what we do? This is crazy. We brush, we eat our dinner, we'll eat a bolognese, and that tastes like bolognese, but then we'll go and brush our teeth with mint. And so we wind up with the flavor of mint, all right? Why don't we just make bolognese mint flavored? We've simplified the whole process. What if all food was just minty?
Then we'd always be minty fresh.
We'd always be minty fresh, you know.
Instead of garlic bread, mint bread.
Mint bread. Instead of
Tic Tacs. Toothpaste.
Instead of orange-flavored Tic Tacs, mint-flavored Tic Tacs.
But could it be that he's a guy, like, you know, it's sort of like a person who's, you know, like people who try to call bullshit on, like, this, you know, what the government, like, you guys are sheep, you know, what the government, you know, like, tells you and what the mainstream media, but it's, like, about the mint flavor in toothpaste and why not?
They could have that in everything.
Yeah. Like, why are we bothering? Why, like, if you really wanted to taste toothpaste, if you really wanted to taste bolognese, why not just get bolognese-flavored toothpaste and just brush your teeth?
All these flavors of food, we don't have to have all those flavors of food. Those are just put there by the people who make toothpaste so that they don't realize that you could just have mint-flavored bolognese. They do it to sell you toothpaste. So you have to buy an extra thing. You have to buy more toothpaste. You have to buy toothbrushes so that you can have a minty flavor in your mouth. But if the stuff was just flavored like mint in the first place, you would save so much money.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how the pharmaceutical companies, they don't want to cure any diseases. They just want to treat them to keep you on the drugs. It's like that with toothpaste, right?
Yeah.
They don't want to cure sticky breath. They just want to treat it.
Yeah.
But if all the food tasted like mint...
It's dentists that tell you, or they tell you that you don't eat sweets, but they still tell you to eat food.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what food gets stuck in your teeth, which causes bacteria, which means that you've got to brush your teeth. But if you don't eat food, you don't have to brush your teeth.
You don't have to... Oh, I've lost it.
Yeah.
No, was it the mint flavored face mouth?
All right. Do you think this is?
I think this is a guy. I think there's something in this. Yeah. That's it. The toothpaste companies, they don't put any money into making food that tastes like mint, do they? Right. They don't put any. There's no research and development being done into making a mint flavored pizza. That's because they don't want you to have fresh breath. They want you to buy toothpaste.
Yeah.
And they control that. They've got everyone hooked.
Yeah, no, you're right. Absolutely, Andy.
What about these people who don't... It's the same with people who think you don't need shampoo, right?
Who thinks that?
People. They say you don't need shampoo. You just, if you don't wash your hair, hair reaches a natural pH balance that's very healthy.
Yeah, right.
And it keeps your hair, it keeps itself clean.
Yeah, right. But kind of greasy.
Yeah, but kind of a bit gross.
Yeah.
Like, you really, like, for those people, they really do have to redefine clean.
Yeah.
To mean a bit greasy and kind of gross.
Yeah, and I think that that's also, anyway, doesn't matter. I think we've got seven, mate. and we've gone maybe even long.
Long.
So, we got number one, concerned with what's in food, but instead just having hemlock. So this is a person, sorry, that wasn't written down very well, but this is for people who are concerned about what's in food, all the different chemicals that you don't know what they are and things like that. Well, why not get rid of all that? It's this one chemical that
you do know what it is.
You do know what it is, and it's replacing all the preservatives, and you do know what it does, and it's hemlock, right? And the same thing with the cleaning products, you know, eliminate all those nasty chemicals.
Replace them with one
chemical, because you don't know what all those chemicals can do to you. Yeah. You know what hemlock's going to do. And then we've got the statusometer, which is,
First two are very weird, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, they're weird, but that's cool. Anyway, you know the statusometer.
Yeah, angle of your body is success in life.
Yeah. Then we got the rich king, who's so rich that even his servants are obese.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good, because that's a sign of wealth. You know.
Do you think that people who walk along leaning slightly backwards do look more successful than people who lean slightly forwards?
Strutting.
It's the strut.
Yeah, it's absolutely. That's a open and shut case on a strut. Yeah.
Open and strut.
This is trust exercises from a guy with trust issues. Don't fall backwards. Nobody would do that. Don't blindly trust strangers.
Those people could be distracted.
Yeah. Those people could have it in for you.
Look, I'm inclined to say don't fall at all.
Do your best not to fall. It doesn't really help anybody.
Yeah. You know, but if you have to.
Yeah.
Forwards. And onto a mat. Have a mat down.
Yeah.
Good.
Don't do it if you don't have arms. Guy who thinks it's a good idea when he needs money to just go out and find money. That's his way of getting money.
And then he descends into crime.
He thinks that's a good way of getting money. He's uses the boop, boop, boop thing on the beach and... And then, obviously, his life descends into complete chaos.
But I think he treats it all as exactly the same. From his point of view, it's all just finding money.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's just finding ways of making it an accident. Convincing himself that it's an accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he is definitely delusional. Write that down. He's delusional.
He's delusional.
Because people might not realize.
Yeah, no, that's good. Then we got... A guy who just wants to be an avant-garde filmmaker.
How do you feel about having your name at the end of a lot of adjectives? Like delusional. Does that feel good? Because I don't have that really with anything except for Randy.
Delusion-andy? Delusion-landy. Yeah.
I mean, it must feel nice that people are saying your name a lot.
Yeah. All, to say other people words. Are saying delusional. All. So unless they call me Allister.
Oh, or sure. All,
it doesn't feel like they're talking to me. But if they start saying delusional.
Delusional.
Yeah, then, I mean, I guess I feel nice that they're thinking of me.
There you go.
You know, if people are bothering to change the pronunciation.
Your pronunciation would just to say your name more.
Yeah, it's very nice. This is a guy wants to be an avant-garde filmmaker, and so he's not so much coming up with good ideas, but just coming up with ideas that haven't been done yet, such as, you know, filming... Using the cameras backwards, but still, you know, trying to pick up what's going on in front of him.
Yeah.
And then also being the first person to use a time machine in the filmmaking process, but not, you know...
Show it on screen.
Yeah, not on screen. And then it's a guy who's calling bullshit on mint flavor and toothpaste. That's just a guy who decided that, and that, you know, this whole food thing, that's...
Yeah.
Like, you could be having mint-flavored anything, but the toothpaste
they,
people...
They tell you you can only get it in the toothpaste, and, of course, in mints.
Yeah, and, you know, gum. It's all dental hygiene.
Yeah.
The whole dental hygiene industry, big mouth.
They've got mint sewn up. They think
They're controlling the flow of mint.
Flavor.
They're probably the ones who are killing the mint that you keep at your own house that you can never keep alive.
Man, mine is growing so well, it's crazy. It's one of the easiest things to grow in the world. It's basil. That's the difficult thing.
No, mate.
Basil's hard.
No, mate. You're thinking of rosemary. That's easy.
Well, my mother.
Yeah. Come on, Andy. Jesus Christ.
Sorry. What about this Alistair?
Yes.
Right? Something about Randy.
Yeah.
Right? The word Randy.
The puppet.
No, just the word Randy.
Okay, the word Randy.
The adjective Randy.
Yeah.
And Randrew. It's like, I almost want it to be like, please, Randy was my father. Well, my father was Randy. Call me Randrew.
Sort of like a guy who's called Randy rather than the adjective Randy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Look, No. I think it's still the adjective Randy.
I'm going to write
like
down...
But like the formal, more, a more formal version of being Randy is being Randrew.
Yeah.
Like, your parents would call you Randrew. My friends call me Randy.
When you're horny, your parents would refer to you being Randrew.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
That's the joke.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I'm going to write... when...
Yeah. When you're horny, parents.
When
call
I'm Randy.
You, when I'm Randy, yeah.
When I'm horny, I'm Randy. But when my parents
see
say
me
that,
when I'm
horny,
Randy,
I'm Randrew.
Randrew to them.
Randrew Matthews.
No one's called me Randrew in 50 years.
If you're calling me Randrew, I must be in trouble.
Yeah. No, that's something.
Look, it's more of a joke.
It's more of a joke. It's a little garnish. A little minty garnish.
Yeah, a little minty garnish. Come to my shop and buy a big dog. Go to the dog and take him to your house. Hey, there's your bed. Sit down there and have a sleep. Dogs, 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 dogs. Dogs don't mind coming to your house. Yeah.
That sounds like a lot of songs that I sing with my wife, Carly.
That was actually part of the song. Thank you very much for listening.
Like, rate, subscribe.
Yep. We're going to get an
please.
Instagram soon.
Yeah.
Go on there. Go on the Facebook. Like that one. Go on the Twitter. Two in Tank. And, you know, rate on the thing. Thank you very much.
We love you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.